Little bit late. This is Tuesday, June the 28th. This is the Senate Special Committee on Budget. We're the Subcommittee of General Government, and I'm going to open up a work session on Senate Bill. Which one do you want to do first?
Right in order, the Governor's Office.
Okay, 5544, and ask for comments from legislative professional or legislative fiscal professional staff.
Okay, you should have your documents in front of you in sequence here. The first one should be the Governor's budget, and there's some penciled-in changes. We've had a quick change. If you'll remember, you previously approved the performance measures and the PERS rate reduction and AG rate reduction.
Right.
We now have agreement to fund the ERT with lottery funds entirely. House and Senate, both sides, the deal is one half of the cost will be paid for out of the counties, 2.5%. Senator Schrader's worked with the counties on this, and they have agreed. And then the balance will come out of the lottery allocation. So that recommendation, the only thing that changes there is the dollars will be the same. It will be out of the lottery funds for ERT.
And is all I would add to that, knowing my good friend and colleague's sensitivity to county issues, I double-checked this with the counties yesterday. I have the privilege of having one of my county commissioners as the current chair of AOC, and one of my county commissioners is the immediate past chair, and this was a deal acceptable to them. Senator Marcet.
This is half of the amount.
Half of the cost, yes.
So that will leave some of the 2.5.
Oh, the 2.5%, yes, Chair members of the committee. That 2.5% aggregates some $29 million, I'm guessing, this
budget. Okay.
Yeah. So it'll be about $800,000, $900,000. And then the other adjustment is there was originally an unspecified reduction of $100,000 for the Senate budget plan. I found out this morning the Senate budget plan had changed, and that is no longer there. So we're not taking that $100,000 out of the governor's budget. That's why I've changed the amount. So the governor's budget from the Senate plan would be general fund of $7,972,713. Lottery funds, $1,733,259. Other funds of $1,144,249. And federal funds of $129,143. 46 positions, 45 and a half FTE, and this will, this does not agree with the House version marketing,
okay.
But this was what the Senate plan now has.
So then we have already agreed on some of these elements,
yep.
And then, so I think the appropriate thing is to ask for a motion on each.
Or just the whole package of LFO recommendations.
All right. Then the chair would entertain a motion to accept the LFO recommendations with respect to the governor's budget. So Senator Morris moves the LFO recommendations with respect to the governor's...
Senator Morris is not here.
I mean Senator Morissette moves the LFO recommendations for the governor's office budget as presented in today's memorandum.
And then we'll need to approve an amendment to the full with the due pass as amended.
Okay, well, first let's accept the LFO. Any discussion, any objections, so ordered. And then we need to move the amended bill to full with a due pass recommendation.
So moved.
Senator Morissette so moves. Any discussion, any objection, so ordered. And we need a carrier, and I will do it.
Thank you.
I've loaded you guys up with your fair share. I'll take my fair share.
Okay.
All right. That concludes. The one thing I didn't ask is if there was anyone from the governor's office here. I didn't see anyone. I was going to give them the opportunity to comment if they wished.
The governor's office was aware of this and knew of the changes. And
great.
Fine.
Okay. Thank you. With that, then, we will close the public hearing on Senate Bill, close the work session on Senate Bill 5544, Office of the Governor, and open a work session on Senate Bill 5620, the Computing and Network Infrastructure Consolidation, and everybody gets a bye to call it scenic during this discussion.
If you would like, Madam Chair, the recommendation that you have before you is identical to the one that was approved by the House, and there's a budget note that has been approved. It's underneath there for that requires the Department of Administrative Services to report to the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology and the Emergency Board during the interim, and request the Department of Administrative Services to unschedule $42.2 million, which is essentially the second year's operating budget, for this pending recommendation by the Emergency Board to have it rescheduled. That budget note has been approved by both of the chairs. The recommendation, if you'd like, I can go through it for you, but what it does is it provides funding for the transition and operating costs, transition of the 12 agencies to the new state data center and consolidate the operations, and then the operations of the state data center as agencies transfer into there. There is it would establish another funds expenditure limitation of $100.3 million, which will be provided. About $38 million of it is from certificates of participation. These are transition costs, one-time transition costs. $62 million in operations will be transferred from other agency budgets that were previously spending the money on, either sending the money to the general government data center or spending it themselves. We will not be adding to those budgets, but we will be doing some shifting in those agency budgets to reflect a reduction in other costs and a payment then to the new data center, consolidated data center. We need to approval to establish 74 limited duration positions, and these are positions that will be needed as agencies are transitioning. They cannot become full-time employees or permanent to the state data center until after transition. So these positions will come in and then go away as agencies move officially into the data center. But the state data center itself will need 39 permanent positions. And so part of this would be to establish the 93 permanent positions to staff the state data center as the consolidation efforts are completed. And these will have differing FTEs as the people move in at different times. Also, in conjunction with this, 155 positions that are currently in the 12 agencies will be phased out during the biennium. The position authority remains with the agencies, but the FTE portion will diminish over time as they transition in. And you have a list of the where the 155 positions are. Then, so we're looking at...
Let me just interrupt you for a moment. Senator Morris, we have already done the governor's budget, and when we're done with this action, I'll open it up again so that you can record a vote.
Okay, yes,
and
thank you.
We're in the midst of the LFO recommendations for the computing and networking infrastructure consolidation.
Right. Thank you.
So this is part of the motion. The recommendation is approve the transfer of expenditure authority from what personal services and other expenditure classifications in agency budgets that we've already approved to another service and supplies expenditure classification. It's kind of an internal accounting code shifting of the costs from the various places they were incurred in the individual agencies to just one line item, paying it to the state data center. We are not, the budget report will reflect those shifts, but there's no additional dollars being requested, just a shift in the expenditure categories. So we do have that budget note that's been approved. We have an operating budget for this operation of $100,297,264 that we're requesting approval of. Approval of the establishment of limited duration positions that will come and go during this upcoming biennium, and the establishment of 93 permanent positions to staff the state data center. Approve the phase out of the 155 positions, and then the transfer of expenditure classification within the agency's budgets that we've already worked on. That's the short of it. I could go and be happy to answer any questions. The funding, as I said, of the $100,038,000 is out of certificates of participation that'll be repaid over time. This has support. Like I said, this is identical to what's been approved in the House plan.
I think as a courtesy to the director, I'm going to ask Director Warner and Dr. Fleming to come forward. they would be available to answer any questions. But first, what I would like to ask is whether or not you've had the opportunity to discuss this LFO recommendation with the professional staff, and if you're in agreement with it.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Lori Warner, the Acting Director for Department of Administrative Services. We have discussed the budget as well as the budget note that you see before you, and we are supportive of that at this point.
Thank you very much. Any questions for either Director Warner or Dr. Fleming? Senator Morissette.
Yeah. Which departments are not involved in agencies? I see the Department of Education. I don't see the Secretary of State, the Governor, Labor Department. Are there areas that...
Right. Chair Johnson, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Don Fleming. I report to Lori Warner. The 12 agencies that were selected for this first phase of Scenic essentially had the largest computing facilities of the ones who were considered. Others will be addressed after we finish the 12 consolidation. And to the extent that bringing them into the data center improves the business case for the shared services strategy, they'll be brought in.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, then we are looking for a motion to approve the LFO recommendations. Actually, before we do this, I just want to say, because this or the next item will be the last time that we may be seeing Dr. Fleming, I just want to thank you for your professional expertise that has brought the state to this point on what is arguably a very complicated, not arguably, a very complicated but critical initiative. And I know that you're going to be leaving state service, and this was an opportunity to thank you for the information that you have provided to the legislature. I think you made true believers out of a number of us that are technologically impaired, but were able to get the message loud and clear from you that we needed to make some adjustments in how we handle our data management. And just on behalf of the legislature, thank you for your service to the state, and thank you for making a very complex project understandable to those of us that operate outside of the esoteric spheres that you operate in.
Thank you very much.
Okay, with that, the chair would entertain a motion to accept the LFO recommendations with respect to Senate Bill 5620, the Computing and Networking Infrastructure Consolidation, also known as CNIC. Senator Morris so moves. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And then at this point, Dallas, do we need to do the budget note separately, or is that implied that we have acted on the budget note?
It's implied that you have approved the budget note.
Okay. Good. Thank you very much.
Now we need a motion to amend the bill and move it to the...
Sorry, I forgot details. The chair would entertain a motion to amend. Senator Morris moves that we amend Senate Bill 5620 and move it to full with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And we need a carrier. I would take a volunteer, and failing that, I'll do it. Senator Morris, volunteer.
Oh.
All right.
Just complimenting you.
I'll take this one.
Thank you.
All right. We will then close the work session on Senate Bill 5620, Computing and Networking Infrastructure Consolidation, and open a work session on House Bill 5130, the Department of Administrative Services. And once again, turn to our legislative fiscal professional staff and tell us.
Okay, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 5130 has been agreed upon by the two chairs to be the vehicle to be the final and official budget of record for the Department of Administrative Services. You have my memo in front of you. We are using the House version, which essentially provides some ballot measure 37 money for the agency to do the gatekeeping work for claims filed on ballot measure 37. But it does not have funding or position authority for the Progress Board. The two chairs.
Let me stop you before you go any further with that. I know that we had quite a discussion going back from the time when Department of Administrative Services came in with a $1.7 million request to do the ballot measure 37. Then that was subsequently reduced in the discussions. Then we got into a lengthy discussion with the Department of Land Conservation and Development about whether they should be the primary. I now believe that there is a, after consultations with Director Shetterly and Director Warner, that there is this gatekeeping function that is my nomenclature, but the mechanism by which Department of Administrative Services will receive the claims, process the claims, given your ability to adequate computing horsepower, and that this is all agreed upon with Director Shetterly, and this is the appropriate way to handle this. If Dallas could give us a little bit more detailed breakdown on the finances that accompany this shared responsibility for handling these claims.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the committee, originally there was $1.7 million requested for ballot measure 37, so with for this department. And of that, about $600,000 was for gatekeeping, what we would call gatekeeping work. The other, the balance then was to provide a web-based data repository for all claims, city and county and the like. There was about $75,000 that is not included in this. What also was not included in this was money for title, for claims, title work or appraisals. This was that was felt to be money that would be needed if and when the state challenged the claim. So the gatekeeping that's provided for in here is strictly in the risk management function, which is a custom that they process claims against the state at that division that of the department, or that operations of the department. And four positions. There were three provided by the emergency board workload because of the increased number of claims. They requested one more, and so this bill has four, I believe it's limited duration positions at this time, and funding for them, and a little bit of funding for some attorney general's costs and the constant work. The department does have to confer with the attorney general. It's not strictly the purview of the various agencies that wrote the rules that were being challenged, but in its role as evaluating the claims and like, or making sure they're complete and like, there's some money for attorney general. But that's principally the amount of money that's in here, a little bit for their systems, $5,000.
Director Warner, I'm going to ask you to come forward, please, if you would. Only because this was a little bit of a confusing conversation. I think everybody had good motives, but it got a little bit convoluted along the way. Have you had the opportunity to discuss this final outcome with the legislative fiscal professional staff, and are you in agreement with it?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, yes, we have looked at this proposal, and you're right. It has kind of gone back and forth. We've had numerous conversations about whether it ought to be all in DLCD or not and how that ought to be done. But I think this is the way it's currently set up. We can function with it this way, and we will report back to the emergency board if there are issues with some of the other costs that have not been funded, which is, I think, what we discussed initially when that funding was reduced. So we have the positions, and I think we can move forward, and we're learning every month as we process these claims.
Thank you very much for those comments. You might just stay there in case there are any other questions. Okay. Sorry, I interrupted you. Now,
are we off of ballot measure 37?
We're off of ballot measure 37, so please move ahead.
Okay. The next item is then there was no funding in the House version for anything in the progress board. The agreement with the two chairs is to provide two positions. They think it's not, doesn't need three, but two positions, 1.75 FTE. One position would be three-quarter time, and $400,000 of other funds expenditure limitation. In the original budget request, there was about $1.1 million of expenditure limitation, and of that, $700,000 or so was from assessment of state agencies. The two chairs have agreed that state agencies would not be assessed, so provided this $400,000 limitation, which doesn't have a revenue stream identified except to go out and get it somewhere. Having said that, that's much like what was provided, in effect, like what we ended up with at the end of last session when we provided position authority, but not much in the way of funding for the Progress Board. That is the agreed upon recommendation. This has been agreed upon by the two chairs. Additionally, something that is not in the budget report for the House version is a budget note that you have before you. that has to do with the use of cellular phones in the state. This is the first time anyone's ever seen it, so I'll go ahead and read it in the record.
Please.
If that is okay with you. The department is directed to conduct a review of the number of cellular phones used by state agencies. The review should also include agency criteria used to determine the need to maintain cellular phone contact with staff. The department shall evaluate the criteria and develop clear rules for all state agencies to follow when providing cellular phones to staff. The department shall report on the results of its review and the development of rules with the Joint Legislative Audit Committee before December 31st, 2006. This has been approved by the chairs. They understand that this budget note would then be entered into the Senate budget report of this House bill, and the House is ready to concur, not only with the $400,000 limitation in the 1.75 FTE, but with this budget note.
Okay. Any discussion or questions of the professional staff? Director Warner, any comments?
Madam Chair, the only comment I would have is regard to the progress board, because I think, as Dallas pointed out, this continues to sort of half have it there in that there isn't a revenue stream to support the work that's there. So that is a particular issue that's still outstanding. The governor's budget proposed in a assessment across state agencies. So we will continue to manage that as we go forward if it's approved this way.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. With that, then, Dallas, do you want to do these as one entire LFO recommendation? And that would pull in both of the it would pull in the budget note for the reconciliation. Sure. It would address your report on the progress.
That'd be fine, Madam Chair.
Then the chair would entertain the motion to support the LFO recommendation. Senator Morris so moves. Any discussion? Any objection? There being none, so ordered. We now would
need to amend the bill and move it to the
right.
Senate.
The chair would entertain a motion to amend House Bill. We're amending the House Bill.
5130
and moving it to the Senate Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation. So Senator Morris so moves. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Now we will need carried.
And Senator Morris in his motions volunteered. I heard him.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Director Warner, for helping work through some of these issues.
Thank you.
All right. We'll now close the work session on House Bill 5130, the Department of Administrative Services, and open a work session on Senate Bill 5611, the Legislative Agencies, and welcome Mr. Nisswander. And ask for your help in walking us through the recommendation. I'm going to dig mine out in just 2 seconds. Well, I've got my own that I worked on.
Chair and committee members, placed before you is Senate Bill 5611. The work session paper memo is what I'll be walking you through here in a few minutes. This is the budget bill as it will be amended for the legislative branch agencies. All six of the agencies are in it. As you, Chair, may recall, Senator Morris, the joint Committee on General Government had public hearings on this bill. House Bill 5046 was at the time on May 10th and 11th. And we reviewed the each of the budgets in detail and also the performance measures. Overall, and I'll go through the detail, overall the budget is $61.6 million. It is about a 4.8% increase over the 2003-05 budget. When you put all these six agency budgets together, the increase is primarily due to personal services adjustments related to PERS, health benefits, pension obligation bond debt service, and then the fact that we're in a post-merit freeze period, there's merit increases for eligible employees. Overall, also the combined budget includes a reduction plan of approximately $1.4 million general fund from all the agencies. This is including PERS and Attorney General technical adjustments, as well as elimination of policy packages, which I will talk about, elimination of a vacant position, reduction of other positions from permanent to session only, and numerous other services and supplies reductions. Over and above that $1.4 million, the plan is built on the presumption that there will be post-session general fund savings that will revert to the ending balance in lieu of being carried over into the interim for assembly use. So approximately $2.5 million in total sort of reduction options in the plan. Then overall, the plan does utilize some of those savings to fund a couple packages that were not funded in, were not actually in the governor's budget placed before the governor, because the Budget Administration Committee asked that the budget be sent over at the essential budget level, which was without policy packages. So when we go through that, you'll see where, through the reductions, we've been able to fund a couple critical projects. So with that, any questions so far? I'll walk you through the memo. The first page, in ledge administration and each of the agencies, as you guys have been accustomed to, there are the PERS adjustments, the rate adjustments, and the Attorney General adjustments, technical in nature and consistent throughout this for all these agencies as well. In ledge administration, there were, in their presentation during the May 10th and 11th hearings, they had three policy packages. Two of them are included in the legislative leadership budget plan for the agency. One of them is the electrical gearbox replacement, which is listed there. It's a $516,482 general fund cost, and the other half of the costs related to that project are coming out of the capital operating account, which is an other funds account. That the primary source of revenue for that is from the rental revenues that are charged against the tenants in the building. And it's used for maintenance and repairs and emergency projects, but the balance in that would allow that to be used for that purpose. The second project is the bill drafting system, which is a project in support of legislative council. And as you heard in testimony on those May 10th and 11th hearings, that system, it needs to be replaced. Its ability to be maintained is going away. The only person who's actually servicing it is a retired individual, and it's time to get going on this project. It's about a two-biennium project. Both those agencies and the city fiscal have been working to refine the budget for that, and when it was presented to you on that, those two hearings, it was approximately $1.9 million. The budget before you still assumes that it will be approximately $1.9 million with the following caveat, and I put it in bold there in the memo. Note that both of these agencies are still reviewing alternative ways to develop this system, and they do plan to look at other states that have recently completed the bill drafting system before finalizing the system requirements documents. As such, there is still some variability as to what this project may cost. So as we discussed earlier, the plan would be for this project to be funded through two COP sales, and the first sale is not going to change significantly from what it was originally proposed, but prior to the second COP sale, both agencies will have an opportunity to come before JLCIMT and the Emergency Board and talk about the developments and what they found out from their review of other systems in other states and request any necessary adjustments to their expenditure authority and debt service allotment based on what makes the most sense. And in our review of this, this was the only way to approach this project in this manner because there are high risks associated with it and we needed the additional flexibility built in to make sure we reduce those risks as much as possible.
I very much appreciate you putting such a fine point on this in the budget report that you sent us. I recall the testimony from the 10th and the 11th wherein Legislative Council was particularly concerned that they would be engaged in all aspects of the development of the system given its unique nature and given the fact that they are so well versed from their day-to-day application in what any new system needs to produce in order to keep them viable. When you talk about this being high risk, as I think about the volume of bills being processed by that office and a transition to a new system, even though that one's old and tired, it's been a faithful friend for a number of years and everybody's very familiar with how it works. I think it's important to acknowledge that this is going to be high risk. It's going to need a lot of hands-on management to make sure that it works as smoothly as everyone hopes. And I'm delighted that you put this great specificity and the engagement of both legislative information and legislative council in doing it. So thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We believe that this, depending on the scenario taken, it could have some additional costs associated with it. But the cost of building a system that doesn't adequately meet their needs nor the legislature's needs for the next decade or more, you know, was even a higher price to pay. So this will be a better way to approach it, and I think when the JLCMT and the E-Board sees the progress made, they will see the value in sort of approaching it this way. Having said that, the budget assumes the debt service will stay the same. If it goes up slightly, they'll have to request additional funds. The reduction plan is next discussed in the other package is the information systems. There's a related hardware and software upgrades to the technology transition, part of the technology transition package. It's the last major upgrade that needs to occur. This is also going to enable the bill drafting system to function properly. It really complements that as well, and it's $425,060. This was part of their second package that just is general funded, and then the bill drafting system is financed through COPs. The reduction plan for ledge administration is approximately $910,000, and as you can see from those bullets, there are the components of that plan: elimination of the long-term vacant position, reduction of three committee services positions that are vacant to session-only positions, reduction of the library generalist position to session-only, and reductions to services and supplies, inflation, and to the task forces that are part of the admin's budget based on the amount of dues that are actually required to be paid.
Madam Chair.
Senator Morrison.
I'm going to ask Larry to maybe elaborate a little more on the background behind the reduction of the task force dues.
The amounts for those task forces, to my knowledge, has not increased significantly over the last two or three biennia. But when the budget is built and the inflationary factors have been able to be built into it over time, it is in excess of the amount necessary to pay the dues. So it's just being reduced down to the anticipated amount due without any adverse effect.
Okay. We're still participating.
Correct.
Okay, that was my question. Thank you.
That's correct. The next section of the memo deals with the Legislative Assembly.
Nothing. I was just thinking to myself, I hope so. I've been appointed to one of these, and because we've been in session, I haven't had a chance to go.
Okay. Nope. You're good to go. Legislative Assembly budget. Again, the two technical adjustments for the PERS and the Attorney General. There were no policy packages. The one addition, this was one of the flagged items that the committee talked about when this was last before them, and that was the Public Commission on the Legislature. And when we finish this work session on this bill, we will be working Senate Bill 1084, which is the bill to establish the Public Commission on the Legislature. So what this funding does, this $133,066 general fund, is for travel, per diem expenses, and for a part-time, actually for 0.75 FTE, limited duration committee assistant. The funding for this was initiated during an emergency board meeting right before session. That funding will run out at the end of this biennium, and so this is what's necessary to support the commission as it does its work during the next interim. One of the other positions that will support this is an existing position in committee services. So by putting it in the budget bill as we are, then the policy bill will be able to move without an appropriation in it.
Senator Morrison.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've noticed that quite a number of commissions specifically are uncompensated. Could you address why we have a $30 per day compensation for this commission?
Other than that's how the bill was drafted, and that's what is standard processing for commission members. It's actually just per diem expenses, in my understanding. And the members are compensated through their committee per diem.
Okay, I was just curious.
Just standard.
There
are some where they are considered volunteers and don't get anything, but this is more common than not.
It is, okay.
It may also, and I'm just speculating at this point, but it may also reflect the importance that this commission is being. This is an important commission. I'm getting my words all tangled up here. And I think that the offering of a per diem may be in response to the significant undertaking the commission will be asked to address.
Yeah, that's correct. I believe the public members are being asked to attend, looks like, assuming 10 meetings per member during this very short period of time. So, and they are in various geographic regions of the state, and we can talk about it when the bill's before you, but it's tri-county area, the valley, the coast, southern Oregon, central Oregon, eastern Oregon. So it's a lot to ask for a relatively short time and a concentrated effort, and we've got a minimal amount for the effort and given the importance to the legislative branch. That's how it was drafted.
Thank you.
In terms of the assembly, the only other thing I would point to is on page 3, the sine-die savings estimate. As I indicated in my opening statement, the $1.1 million general fund reversion is expected to occur on the assumption that the session would end approximately by August 1. If it ends sooner, then the reversion amount would go up. But that's what that is, part of the reduction plan. And the next two bullets talk about why that would be a part of the reduction plan. In the normal course of things, funds not spent by the assembly during session can be carried over into the interim for interim use. The bill, as it's being amended in accordance with the leadership plan, would require that unspent funds from this assembly be reverted to the ending balance once session-related costs are paid. In exchange for that, at the end of the interim that we'll be entering after session, funds that are not spent during the interim would be able to be carried over for use during next session. So for members that have interim allowances that they choose not to fully utilize during the interim, they would, this is a leadership discussion and decision as to how they would allocate the use of those savings, but it would provide the opportunity for those unused interim funds to be help members with their session-related expenses when their staffing and support needs go up. Legislative Council, just two technical adjustments, and then the two policy packages. They had three policy packages. Two of them relied on general fund. One of them was other funds, and the plan calls for the other funds package to be funded. It's a $60,013 other funds package that relies on for editing and indexing resources for Legislative Council publication services. This one is self-funded from the revenues generated from their sales. The other two packages, as you recall, were, one was a reclass pack, overtime or reclass package for unemployment compensation costs. They found an alternative way to address that need, and the $130,000 was for Willamette University to get an additional staff attorney to support the law commission, and that was not included in the plan. Legislative fiscal adjustments, again, once you walk past the technical adjustments, there were no policy packages, however, in the agency request budget, but through the course of the session, there were two needs that were identified, and they are listed there below. One is to transfer the funding that is currently used for a rotational analyst program that the agency has had for several biennia, $64,401, and use it in partial support for a fiscal impact analyst so that the office can have a permanent staff in lieu of just session-only support for that function. Currently, we have only two permanent fiscal impact analysts, and workload demands, as well as the interim workload that we plan to use those staff for, has gone up significantly. And so this is we've had three in previous biennia, and we had to eliminate one for budget, so this is a restoration. The second position is for use in taking on the new responsibilities the department, the agency has related to performance measures, the development, monitoring, and of performance measures. This session, as you recall, and our office had to do a lot of work to develop performance measures, and this branch is no exception. There were none to begin with, and now they all have them. And we are planning to, with the legislature, developing, modifying, adopting, and monitoring the use of these, planning to take an increased role, and this position will allow us to do that. Next is a budget note that has been approved, and you probably have already seen this one because it was in the DAS budget as well, but it's in both DAS and Legislative Fiscal Office's budget, and it has to do with best practices.
fine.
You're both familiar with that?
Mm-hmm. Excellent budget.
So this is the other agency that it goes into. So both these agencies will be working together in the interim to fulfill those requirements. Legislative revenue, two technical adjustments, and as you recall from their testimony, they were lacking some funds for ongoing technology needs, and this will provide them with $10,000 to address ongoing technology needs in the form of replacement of laptop computers, desktop computers, and statistical analysis software so that they can maintain their capabilities. So this would be a capital outlay budget item that they have not had before now. Indian Services Commission, just the technical adjustments, there were no policy packages. And the performance measures, as previously indicated, we did go over those in the previous hearings, and they are all attached to your work session papers if you want to look at those. But basically, they were previously presented, discussed, and approved. I have not been made aware of any requested changes, so I would ask that you adopt those. And the last page is just a detail of the amendments that you would need to make to carry out the budget as I have described it. By amending 5611 so that the amounts that I have described and outlined in the memo are in fact amended into the bill.
And at this point, just remind me, because I frankly have gotten confused, are the House and the Senate versions the same?
They are the same.
Okay. All right. All right. Any questions of our professional staff?
No.
Senator Morris.
Chair, I would compliment your inclusion and staff's inclusion with respect to the board's performance and commission performance. I think that was something we discovered through our hearing process that needs attention, and I think this is a good piece of work. Thank you.
Okay. We are a little bit ahead of schedule, and as a courtesy, Mr. Henderson, do you have anything that you want to add? You've had the opportunity to review this with the professional staff from Legislative Fiscal. Okay. For the record, Mr. Henderson's head is going up and down. Okay. All right. Well, in that case, the chair would entertain a motion to accept the LFO recommendation with respect to the legislation. Do you want to do these individually, or do you want to do them as the agencies in block?
I think we could do it in block as outlined in the memo.
Okay. The chair would entertain a motion to accept the LFO recommendation in block as outlined in the memorandum of June 27, 2005 for the legislative agencies. Senator Morissette moves the LFO recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And then we need to amend the budget and move it to the special committee. Senator Morissette?
So moved.
Senator Morissette, Senator Morissette moves the amendments to Senate Bill 5611 and moves it on to the Senate Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Thank you. We need a carrier. Senator Morissette volunteers. I will then close the work session on Senate Bill 5611, the legislative agencies, and open a work session on Senate Bill 1084, the Public Commission on the Oregon Legislature, and ask our legislative fiscal officer, Mr. Nisswender, to walk us through that.
Thank you, I will. Also, committee members, I asked Gary Wilhelm to be here to speak to the bill also, as he was one of the proponents and helped with the drafting of the bill. So,
then may we invite Mr. Wilhelm to come up?
Senate Bill 1084, I place before you a fiscal impact statement and a staff measure summary as well as a copy of the bill. I'll let Gary speak to the bill, but just know that the fiscal impact of the bill is addressed in the budget we just adopted, and so the fiscal aspects of it are taken care of. There would be no amendment to the bill necessary to pass it out today.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wilhelm.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
pleasure to be here. I do not have a copy of the bill in front of me, but I would propose to just answer your questions if you have questions about it. This is.
May I interrupt you and ask you to identify yourself
for the record
and spell your name?
I'm out of practice.
I know.
I know. I stay in my little cubicle upstairs, and I don't get to do this very often. Gary Wilhelms, Chief of Staff for the Speaker of the House, and formerly honorable.
Still honorable.
Well, thank you. In any event, this is the result of a kind of a circuitous route through the process. The idea for establishing a public commission on the legislature was brought forward by the Senate President early this session, and we've worked on that proposal for some time, and then decided we probably needed a measure, and so we were going to introduce a resolution, which ultimately became a bill, which you see before you, upon the advice of legislative counsel. And so we now have a bill late in the session that we are trying to pass to codify this commission. It has been 30-plus years since we have had such a commission. There was one in 1968. There was another one in 1974. I had the privilege of serving in the legislature at the time we enacted a number of the recommendations from the 1974 commission. And they were basically well received and have, I think, made a positive impact on the legislature and the legislative process over the years.
Well, Holmes, before you move on, just to build a historical record here, do you remember any of the specific proposals? And could you share them with us?
Some of them kind of blend together between 68 and 74, but one of them is the building you're sitting in. The wings were the recommendation, I believe, of the 74 commission. The establishment of legislative revenue as an agency within the legislature was part of it. The establishment of legislative research, which has since gone away, was also part of it. Electronic voting in the House was a recommendation of the 68 commission, I believe. You're testing my memory, and it's not that great, but that's an example of a number of them, and there were many other recommendations that were made by the commission. But it dealt with process as well as physical facilities, as well as a number of other items, and that is what we would propose to do with this commission. We have suggested that it be an absolute blue sky operation. It's going to be a 30-member commission. The members are they represent broad ranges of interests, including business, former legislators, staff, the press, academia, etc. So it's a broad group of people, many of whom are thoroughly experienced in the legislative process, some of whom are not, some of whom are business observers and probably would come in with a fresh perspective and no bias as far as the process itself is concerned. So we have suggested that when we begin to operate, which will be probably in the month of September, we absolutely accept every recommendation from every source we can solicit, including the National Conference of State Legislatures, staff that worked on the 74 commission. Two people that were involved in that commission are actually going to be on this commission. And all of the members of the legislature and anybody in the public, as a matter of fact, for their ideas. And we will categorize them all, and we will hopefully have them all reviewed by subcommittee, and then the recommendations will come forward, and we will bring a final report to the legislature in the November-December 06 timeframe. In the meantime, if there are recommendations that come through the public commission process that can be implemented prior to that, we will attempt to implement them by going to the emergency board or by simply turning the recommendations over to the newly elected leadership after the 06 election, because some of these recommendations will no doubt be administrative-type decisions that can be made by leadership.
But you're not limiting yourself to just these processes. The point I was trying to get to by asking you to comment on some of the previous efforts is they range in scope from really very significant, like making the recommendation to build the wings on the building, down to process-oriented, and it is your anticipation that this new public commission will receive those kinds of recommendations all through the spectrum, process, physical, plant.
Yes, Madam Chair, we have already received some and are starting to make a list, even though we are not official yet until you pass this bill. But we have, for example, the additional use of electronics in the building, i.e., some people have proposed that we put a laptop computer on every desk. On the floors. Now, that's a very controversial matter, and we will take it up, and I don't know what the recommendation will be. There are strong pros and cons on both sides of that.
If it comes with an operator, for some of us, that would work out just fine.
But that's an example of renovation of the wings, because the wings we're sitting in, as you all know, we can't drink the water, we can't we can't do wiring or do it appropriately because we're in violation of the code already. We cannot add electronic wiring in the building because the conduits are full. And besides, we ought to probably be looking at wireless technology and those kinds of things. So there are some of those items that are physical and quite expensive that we will be taking up. On the other hand, we will be talking about how to possibly restructure committee services as an example, or LFO as an example. And those things probably have no cost associated with them unless we do make a recommendation to beef up the staff. But they very likely won't have any cost associated with them. They'll be based on recommendations and experience from other legislatures around the United States and from the NCSL. And obviously it's got to be run through the process, and not all of these recommendations are going to make it through the process back to you folks in November of 06, but some will. And there have been some very good suggestions about how we should modernize the use of staff, how we should modernize the salary and benefits and expense structure for legislators and staff in the building. Golly, I can't quote you all the items that are on the list already, but it's extensive already, and we haven't even solicited the members of the commission yet because they haven't formally been appointed yet, but will soon be.
A little stroll by the fire marshal through some of these offices might be instructive, too.
Well, and to be perfectly candid also, Madam Chair and members of the committee, it is a difficult political decision for a legislator to sit here and talk about spending $26 million, or whatever the price happens to be, but it's in the $20 to $30 million range, to redo these wings at a time when we're scratching for money like we are in the budget. But we would submit that if the commission on the legislature comes forward with a formal recommendation after it's been vetted by these 30 people and comes up with a financing plan for that, it might be more acceptable to both the legislature and the individual legislators to do something like that, which I believe we all internally at least believe is needed at least to some degree.
Well, you're... away trips be both the solicitation of new ideas from people spread out geographically as well as vetting some of the recommendations that you have gotten with the public in the places where they live and work?
Well, yes, ma'am. I believe our objective is to actually take public testimony at a couple of general outstate meetings. And that would be testimony for suggestions to be considered and testimony on items that we have got already before us. And we will, of course, publicize these meetings and have agendas for them. Besides that, we're only thinking that we're going to have a couple of outstate meetings for that purpose. We do believe that we probably should send a very small group, one or two people, off to visit based on probably NCSL recommendations, a couple of other capitals in the country that have had recent renovations to see what they've done with, for example, technology and how they've used it. And security is another consideration. I forgot to mention that and how they are dealing with security in these other capitals. So we will probably have some of those those types of trips that will also show up in the budget. But it's not intended for all 30 members to charge off to some nice place in the Hawaii capital.
I was just
going to
say, I will be very skeptical if it turns out that the places we're looking at are Hawaii.
No.
Or, I understand, kidding aside, that I was listening to a report on the radio talking about the very extensive renovations to Washington's capital after it was damaged, and the high degree of integration of technology into that building. And while I have not been up there, the report was very laudatory of what they had done. It was also very expensive. But
well, and I believe Washington, of course, would be one that we would go to, and I know that, two that I'm familiar with only because I made a recent trip down in the Southwest. New Mexico and Texas would both be good places to go look, just to take a look, because they've done an outstanding job also. I think New Mexico on the more modest financial end of the spectrum, and Texas at a quite elaborate.
Have the commission names been circulated publicly yet, or is that work in progress still?
A very good question, Madam Chair. We're slow to do this because we wanted to, first of all, make sure we had this bill on the way, even though it's not passed. The 30 members have been agreed to by the presiding officers, as have the co-chairs, and they will soon receive a letter that will congratulate them for being appointed, although they've all been visited with on the phone or in some other manner, so I think they're all pretty much aware of it. But they will be formally solicited for a lot of information, not the least of which, of course, is their ideas to be taken up by the commission. And then we plan to break down into subcommittees and assign all of the recommendations to subcommittees, operate kind of like a legislature with its committee structure, refer these ideas out to the subcommittees, have the subcommittees work them. That's where most of the work will be done, where most of the meetings will occur. And then the recommendations will be brought back to the full commission and be dealt with in a legislative manner, and then we will formulate our recommendations to the legislature from that. But that is all going on right now, and we will have our first full committee meeting. We plan to have it between the 1st and the 10th of September, but the work over the summer will be to solicit all the information and get it broken down into subcommittees and get it structured so that we can hit the ground running in September. 30-member commission is not an easy commission to manage, but that's our plans thus far, and we have our staff in place now, so we're really getting ready to roll on this. But the formal announcement has not yet been made. There will be a letter go out, as I said, followed immediately by a press release.
I would just ask on behalf of all of our colleagues, sitting legislators, that some mechanism would be employed to let us know when the meetings are and where they are, simply to be able to participate if you're out and about in the state.
Guaranteed, Madam Chair.
Good. Any other questions for Mr. Wilhelms? Senator Morris?
Wilhelms probably would appreciate us moving this bill.
I think so.
Good. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, we'll stop talking about it and get to work on the building. Thank you very much. Anything else that you'd like to add?
Just that we will move the bill without amendment to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
And the chair would entertain a motion to that effect. Senator Morris moves Senate Bill 1084 to the full Senate Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation, and I would ask Senator Morris to carry this because I think he has a special interest in the bill.
Thank you.
Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. All right. That, I believe, concludes our business for today. Any other comments from the panel? We need to close the work session on Senate Bill 1084. And absent any additional comment from the panel, I will declare us adjourned.